And joining us on the line this morning is Scott Petrek from the Chronicle Telegram and the Gazette. He's also the brownzone.com. And, of course, the big about this time yesterday is when the news sort of officially came down about Deshaun Watson getting the six-game ban. Independent arbitrator Sue L. Robinson gave him the six-game suspension. And Scott's here to talk a little bit about that. All right, Scott, you've had 24 hours to kind of like soak this in. What are your thoughts at this moment on this issue?
Well, from a football perspective, it's good news for the Browns and Watson, with the caveat that the NFL can appeal the ruling, and then that appeal will be, it's not really heard, but will be decided by Commissioner Roger Goodell or someone he designates, with the potential to lengthen the suspension. And if the NFL decides to appeal and they have 3 days to make that decision, I would assume the suspension gets lengthened. I don't know how much it gets lengthened. The NFL argued for an indefinite suspension of at least a season. I don't know if the league would go that far or just add, you know, 3 or 6 games to the suspension, but that's the big question mark still out there from football perspective and for the Browns, because how much their 3-time Pro Bowl quarterback is available will go a long way in determining how the Browns fare this season and whether or not they can be a playoff and Super Bowl contender that they would be with Deshaun Watson. And then you read a lot of stuff. The Browns did not comment much on the suspension yesterday. They want to let the potential appeal process play out. Kevin Stefanski talked, didn't say a whole lot new, that hasn't put out a statement. But there's a lot of reaction, and that's what I've been doing this morning, been reading some of the reaction from across the country. And it was, I would say that the general consensus is the suspension was not long enough. That's the opinion of many people. The suspension was not long enough given the accusations against Deshaun Watson and the fact that Sue L. Robinson agreed with the NFL that he did a lot of the things he was accused of.
Scott, when we talk about the NFL making the appeal, who are we talking about here? Other owners, Roger Goodell,
no.
Other people in the commission? Who is it?
I mean, it's the league office, which is headed by Roger Goodell. So, the league is not just Roger Goodell, but he will make that final decision whether or not he appeals to himself. I mean, that's my understanding. He may take the pulse of other owners. I'm sure he talks to people in the league. There's a lot of high-ranking people in the league besides Roger Goodell. But if one person has to make the decision, I'm under the assumption that would be Roger Goodell, who then would appeal to himself.
That's some labor law right there, but I guess everybody agreed to it. You talk about other people reaction. Robert Kraft apparently said, quoting, now the independent arbitrator coming back with only a 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson is frankly an embarrassment to the entire league. This sounds like the, pot calling the kettle black here.
Yeah, I haven't seen that to corroborate that quote. I mean, I saw it on Twitter, but not enough where I would trust it. If that's really what he said, that would rankle some people because, part of the union in Watson's side in their argument to Sue L. Robinson was that the collective bargaining agreement says that ownership and management should be held to a higher standard than the players. And Robert Kraft is one of the examples that was pointed out because, he was involved in a massage parlor situation and I don't believe received any punishment from the league. So for him to say that would seem disingenuous, for sure. And you're right, the part about Goodell having the final hammer is part of the collective bargaining agreement. The first part of it is, too, the fact that now there is an independent arbitrator, and it's Sue L. Robinson, who's jointly appointed by the NFL and the NFL Players Association. That was new to the 2020 collective bargaining agreement, but the NFL also kept final say in the appeal, and that is something that the union eventually agreed to in the final wording of the collective bargaining agreement.
Talking this morning, Scott Petrek, brownzone.com. You can read him in the Chronicle Telegram as well and follow him on Twitter. Let's get to some of the things between the stripes as well going on at camp as it's just been getting underway. What's your initial impression? What are some of the players out there and now with all the rookies kind of signed that kind of is impressing you or maybe giving you some excitement?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. They haven't. Today will be the first day in pads, and the first couple of days were really slow. So, you know, I would say we've only seen about maybe 2.5 practices. The first thing that jumps in my head is there's questions at the receiving core. Amari Cooper, the number one receiver, kind of tweaked his ankle yesterday. It'll be interesting to see if he practices today. He didn't, you know, the trainers looked at him for a second, and then he got up on his own. He just kind of stood and watched the end of practice. It happened late in practice. Didn't have the ankle wrapped or anything. So we'll have to see if he misses any time at all. But David Bell, the rookie receiver, is out with a foot injury. Anthony Schwartz, in his second year, is out with a knee injury. Javon Wims is out with an illness. So they're down at the receiver position, and they've yet to make a big move, and I know a lot of people are wondering why they haven't. So that bears watching to see if these guys, David Bell and Anthony Schwartz in particular, can come back quickly and show that they're ready to have a big role in the season, because if they're not, then I think GM Andrew Berry needs to go sign someone that has some experience in league and can back up Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones. Because especially if you're missing Deshaun Watson, right? The Browns are going to miss him for at least the first 6 games. The assumption is that Jacoby Brissett will be the starter. Then you need to support him with as much talent as possible, right? Deshaun Watson, if he's playing, you think, okay, he's going to kind of lift everyone around him. I don't think you can have the same assumption with Jacoby Brissett. So therefore, I think you have to improve the receiving core, and that's something to keep an eye on. You know, Myles Garrett looks really good. I think the young corner, the rookie corner, Martin Emerson Jr., he's a big kid. He was the Browns' first pick, which didn't come into the third round. He's getting some work with the first team because Denzel Ward is out with a foot injury. And it'll be interesting to see if he can have an impact right away. He'll compete with Greedy Williams probably for some reps at that third corner. And I know the Browns' coaching staff's really high on him.
Sorry there, ended up with an alert, an EAS alert that just kind of popped in on me here, took a little bit of the audio away. Scott, I happened to see that I was online on Twitter. I don't know whether he's just there in camp. Joe Thomas came by giving some pointers to that. Tell me a little bit about that and like alumni and people like that kind of that come and go, or is he planned to be somebody that's there as somewhat of a mentor on occasion?
Yeah, I mean, he's always been really willing. When Jedrick Wills Jr. was drafted with the 10th pick in 2020, Joe reached out to him immediately to give pointers to and anything he needs. James Hudson III was a tackle drafted last year. You know, I think I saw Joe on Saturday for the first time and just said hi to him and shook his hand as we were walking by. I think he might have been in town doing some stuff for NFL Network on Saturday, but he was still there yesterday. You know, I know he spends some time here during the offseason or just in general. He still comes back and spends some time here. And, you know, he's a valuable resource. You know, he's not committed to be a coach. You know, he said he didn't have enough time to take over for Doug Deacon as the radio analyst. But anytime he's around, he certainly helps. And he's the kind of guy that, you know, just makes everybody feel good. The fans go nuts for him. You see media talk to him, and I know the players really appreciate him. And, you know, he's probably going to go in the Hall of Fame a year from now.
So it's good to see that as well. And I guess you mentioned fans being there, able to come out to the training camp as well under different circumstances in the previous couple of years. So it's exciting, and there's a lot of excitement, I guess, for this upcoming season, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, there is. And it's good to see the fans on both sides of the practice fields. Last year, they were limited to one set of bleachers. There's certainly more people. I would say it's louder, you know, just due to the fact that there's back to full capacity, and even probably more because they added a big set of bleachers on the other side of the field. And as far as excitement, you know, to bring it back to what we started with, a lot of that depends on Deshaun Watson. And I know a lot of people are conflicted about the Browns signing him, and it was a divisive decision that they made when they traded for him in March. But from a strictly football perspective, the Browns' fortunes will rely heavily on how much their franchise quarterback can play. And I know that there was, you know, anxiety among fans waiting for the decision. And some of that was removed yesterday, but until the final appeal, if there is an appeal, until the final ruling comes out, I think that will only linger because You know, I think the Browns can withstand a six-game suspension for Deshaun Watson. If it grows to, you know, nine or more, then I think it'll be difficult. And then I think Andrew Berry might have to consider finding other options at quarterback, and one of those could be Jimmy Garoppolo if the 49ers cut him, which they probably will because he's due so much money this year.
Wow. So it's all these moving parts and a lot of things. We'll have to wait a couple of days at least to see what happens and then move forward. And hopefully we'll see what final decision it becomes. But we'll look forward to reading you in the Chronicle and the Gazette, also following the BrownZone.com. Scott, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks.
Thanks. Scott Petrek joining us from the BrownZone.com. You could read him in the Chronicle, Telegram, also the Gazette, and follow him on Twitter at Scott Petrek. 824 WEOL, also from the Chronicle. Scott's buddy or friend, I suppose. We'll see if Rachel, how much Rachel, maybe she's a big football fan. We'll find out what she has to say, but she's good at saving money. The coupon queen, Rachel Critch, joins us coming up at 8:40 this morning, brought to you by the Lorraine Public Library System.